Good to see everybody here this morning. You would turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through verse 42. Matthew 5, 38 through 32. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn also the other to him. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." As you look at this, in general, Jesus is talking about how we deal with people who are requiring things of us. And when you look at it, retaliation is very much at the heart of some of these teachings. It hearkens to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Don't repay evil with evil. If you're struck, don't repay in kind, but go the extra mile by offering your other cheek. Rather than going to court with some, be ready to be defrauded. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. Many different passages we could go to. Jesus challenges us here to do more. And he says, offer your cloak also. If they require of you that tunic, give them your cloak too. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go the extra mile with them. And you stop and think about it. At the very heart and soul of what we're going to be talking about this morning is that in our worship and service and life in God, we are to be giving more than the absolute bare minimum. You know, most of the times, if we decide that we're going to take a long trip somewhere, whether it be on vacation or go see family somewhere or whatever the case may be, we usually make some preparation, don't we? Seldom would we get in our car knowing that we've got, say, 400 miles to drive and have an eighth of a tank of gas. We're going to stop before we get out of town and we're going to fill that tank up, aren't we? Should this concept then not also apply to our spiritual journey that we're on here? Don't leave home on an empty tank. Well, don't go into this spiritual journey that we are on an empty tank. Our life here on earth is a journey that involves much more than the physical aspects of life. And yet it seems to be that many people try to make life's journey on a dollar's worth of spiritual fuel. Now, I know that your dollar's getting you a little bit more today than it was a couple of years ago when we were seeing gas prices upwards of about $3.50, nearly $4 a gallon. But even that, a dollar of gas in your car is not going to get you very far, is it? Well, in the same light, a dollar's worth of spiritual fuel is not going to get us very far in this journey that we're on in this life, in our worship and work and service to God. The attitude of many people, it seems to me, is to do just as little as we can possibly do. Sometimes you talk to people and you realize that that's the way they are in every aspect of their life, whether it's in school or life or jobs. And one of the saddest things is when it comes to the Lord's church, give just as little as you can possibly give of yourself. Don't go the extra mile. Don't come prepared for services. Just kind of come in and blow out. Show up once in a while when you want to. Don't worry about the rest of it. But you see, from our text here, we see that Jesus taught the lesson of going the extra mile, being prepared, doing all that we possibly can. Folks, nowhere in the Bible that I've ever read, anything that I'm aware of, does it teach us to do the minimum. Just get by. Be a minimal Christian. Put forth minimal effort in knowing God's Word. Do as little as we can for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't find that in the Bible. Folks, we are taught to do more than the minimum. Go back to Matthew 5 and verse 41. Evidence of that is very simple. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. If you go to Matthew chapter 25 and you read there about the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, and here we see a great example of going beyond the minimum. The wise virgins filled their vessels with the oil necessary. And they were so prepared that even when somebody came and said, "Share with us what you have," they rejected that idea because they knew that there was a possibility that the bridegroom just might be delayed and they would need that oil. If he was there early, they were ready. If he was there on time, they were going to be ready. They went the extra mile. And if he was late, if he was delayed for any reason in getting there, they were still prepared, weren't they? The Lord would add to this in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. "And when you have done all those things which you are commanded," we've gone and we've taught people, we've preached the gospel, we've done our benevolent work, we've done all these different things. What are we to say? He says, say this: "We are unprofitable servants because we have done that which was our duty to do." All the way through the Scriptures, we're taught to be better than. You go to the book of Hebrews, it's an entire book that talks to us about a better covenant, a better Savior, everything that a sacrifice, everything is better in the New Testament age. Folks, we need to have that mindset. God commands us to go 1 mile, we need to go that second mile out of love and dedication to God. Number two, we receive more than the minimum, don't we? I don't think anybody can deny that. We should constantly be grateful that God did not and does not to this day do as little for us as He possibly can do. Can you imagine that for just a moment? We would not be able to read in the pages of the New Testament about the great grace and love and mercy of God. Because while I deserve punishment, God doesn't give it to me. While I don't deserve all the rich blessings of life, He still gives them to me. Can you imagine if God didn't do that? Can you imagine what our lives would be like? I'm going to suggest to you, it isn't that we would be wishing for death because we're going to get to go to heaven. We'd just be wishing for death to get out of this world. That's the kind of love and grace and mercy that we see from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote these words, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What is he saying here? We have been saved by the grace of God, that is His part. By faith, that's our part. That is that obedience to the gospel call. But salvation, that's what's under consideration here, is not of myself. God is the one who has given it and made it available to every accountable human being. Every one of us. Folks, Christ went the extra mile, didn't He? He went the extra mile for humanity. We learn from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 that Jesus did not think it was something to be clung on to be grasped, be held on tenaciously to stay with God in heaven. He came to this earth anyway. He came to offer life to man, and not just some ordinary life. We learn from John 10 and verse 10 that it is an abundant life when we are obedient to the gospel call. It's a life of absolute superfluity, an abundance. Jesus allowed for the will of the Father to be done, and He went to the cross, not for what He did, but for what I did. He went to the cross for the sins of humanity. He went the extra mile. He did the extra. He didn't do the bare minimum. "Well, I've come, Father. They won't listen to me. So how about not having to go through this cross thing? How about not going through the mockery of a trial that He was subjected to, and the scourging and the mockery, and people spitting in His face and slapping Him? Let's skip that, Lord, because after all, these people don't care. And I sure don't want to go to that cross, because I know two things are going to happen. I'm going to go through excruciating physical pain, and the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspect of it, of bearing the sins of humanity, I just don't want to do." He didn't do that, did He? He didn't do that. He accepted everything. And in His sacrifice, you know what He did? He willingly shared in an inheritance. Romans chapter 8, 15 through 17 tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. By Christ going the extra mile, we can say that we have become the children of God, the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Folks, God's blessings that He bestowed on us are far, far greater than bare minimum. Folks, every day that we live, we should live with going the extra mile in mind. Going the extra mile in our worship of God, our service to God, our labors in the kingdom. We ought to be willing to go that extra distance. As Christians, we should strive to be and do more than bare minimum. In fact, I would say we ought to strive to be above, average. We ought to put all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength into being what God wants us to be. As Christians, we should strive daily for that mentality. Think about Noah's day. Those who were satisfied with giving a minimum in life That meant not following God, not obeying His will, living according to the ways of the world, died in the flood. Genesis chapter 6. The average Israelite that left Egypt, do you realize, died in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 14. You know why? Because they weren't willing to fill their tank, that spiritual tank, and stick with God and make the whole journey. They went unprepared to be true servants of God. Folks, it takes more than the minimum to be saved. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. God wants more than just lip service out of us. It's easy for people, and you hear it every day. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, it means that I'm a Christian. Well, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? Nothing. Have you really obeyed the gospel as it's laid out for us in the pages of the New Testament? No, I'm a Christian. How do you know that? Because I said so. He wants more than lip service. He wants us to be busy in the kingdom. He wants us to be busy working for the cause of Christ. He wants all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not an empty tank. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I wrestled with that for a long time, a living sacrifice. I don't have to necessarily die for the cause of Christ. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. God wants me to be a living sacrifice. One that's giving, one that's working, one that's laboring. The Christian is to be a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And folks, that requires that I have to fuel my tank with God's Word. It means that I must go to the book of books. And while necessary as it is because of all the great stories and all the things that we learn about in the Old Testament, in particular, go to the New Testament and see what God has to say. Not what I think, not what I want, not what I believe, but what God has to say. And then put it to work. Where does God want me to work and labor? How does He want me to do His work? He's given it to me. He's told me. He wants me to go the extra mile. And folks, the only way I can go the extra mile is to be fueled up and ready to go that extra mile. Folks, we receive more than God's minimum. And therefore, we must be willing to give more than the minimum. Are we willing to go that second mile with the Lord? Jesus went to the cross and died. Jesus shed His blood. He paid the ultimate price for mankind. Now, the question is, when He asked me to go one extra mile, and I ask myself, can't you do that? I hope my answer is yes. God has never called upon us. Our Lord has never called upon us to do anything we could not do. It's accomplishable. He didn't demand of us some ridiculous thing in order for us to be saved. We're told plainly that we must come in contact with the Word of God, because that's the only way we can know what God wants us to do. To hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized, to have our sins washed away, and then to rise up and walk in newness of life, knowing that God has washed away our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Will we give all back to God and His Son? If there's anyone here this morning who's never put their Lord and Savior on in baptism, and maybe because we've talked about it some this morning, you realize that your tank isn't full for this journey known as Christianity, known as being children of God. You can make things right. You can fill your tank up. You can be obedient to the gospel call. And then begin that journey and refuel yourself on a daily basis. First, you have to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can you do that? Are you there now? You have to be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by the evidence put forth in this book of books. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? You need to have that heart and mind that says, I'm ready to repent. That means that's going to put you in a reconciled and restorative place with God. And confess His name. And then be baptized. Are you ready to do that? We challenge you not to wait another minute, another day, another hour. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God and you recognize that your tank has been a little bit empty. And you need to refuel it. And maybe you need the prayers of the church. We stand ready to assist in any way that we possibly can. Whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you come as we stand and as we sing this song?